As you can see from the handout that you have, today's sermon is titled Recovering from a Broken Heart. Now we find that in many parts of life, there's times that we all go through a place where our hearts get broken. And it's wonderful to know that God isn't just concerned with salvation. He's concerned with your life. He's concerned with your mental health, your spiritual health. He's concerned with your physical health. When Jesus walked the earth, he didn't just save people. He also healed the sick. He also ministered to the downtrodden. And so what I want to do is I want to take you through the scriptures and find what can we do when we have a broken heart. What can we do? What is it that God has laid out for us that we can place in our lives, that we can position in our lives to such an extent that it causes us to become healed from that? Because a broken heart can last forever if people don't go through the proper healing process. And so what I want to reveal to you is what that process is. And before we get into the scriptures, I want to speak a little bit about what happened in Pennsylvania on October 12th when Charles Carl Roberts IV walked into a one-room Amish schoolhouse intent on harming the little Amish girls in that school. He wound up taking 15 girls hostage. And he bound them up and he shot them. Five of the girls perished. And the gunman then shot himself. And we all seen this tragedy in the news, and it is a tremendous tragedy. But some of the news that came out of that speaks to what I want to speak to today. The shooter said that he was mad at God for the loss of his infant daughter in 1997. And what makes this story so different than any other story that we might see is the response of the Amish community. It was a tremendous response. I'm going to give you a little information that you may not have heard because it wasn't broadcast on major news media. The oldest girl in that school was 13 years old, and her name was Miriam. And she told the gunman, "Shoot me first." And after she said that, her little sister said, "Shoot me next." Hoping that their lives would be given for their friends in school. They thought maybe if I stand up and I get shot first, maybe there's a chance those other little girls, those friends of mine, can live their life out. What does it say to us when people give their lives for one another? Her younger sister's name was Barbie. They lost their lives. They lost their lives. The Amish families who lost their loved ones then made a journey. And they went to the house of the surviving spouse of the gunman who killed their children. And the bishop of that community went to their house and he offered forgiveness to that family. And you would think, wow, somebody shot or killed my kid. I don't think I could do that. But you see, that's where the love of God comes in. Because that Amish bishop not only went and offered forgiveness, but he held that woman for a whole hour as they cried together over the loss of those children. Not only that, but they even attended the funeral of the gunman. And I tell this story because it really gives us two stories. On one side, we have a man who was angry at God and refused to offer forgiveness even to God. And on the other side, we have a story of little children and families who offered forgiveness. Now, we can look at that gunman and see, from 1997 to 2006, something was festering on the inside. Something was festering. He didn't release it. You see, God is in control of life and death. And I don't have to worry that if my child was lost early in life, I don't have to worry about them because they're safe in His hands. They're not in my past, they're in my future. King David understood that when he lost Bathsheba's first baby, his wife. When he lost that child, he said, the child cannot come to me, but I will go to the child. He realized that that child was in his future. That life is not just here, it's eternal. And so, in understanding that, I want to talk to you a little bit about being offended. Because people offend people. That's life. That is life. We go through life and we become offended by others, and chances are, if you're anything like I am, you have offended someone else. Because we have a tendency to be fleshly natured. And sometimes we get angry, and sometimes we make gestures and say things that we should not do. And so we offend others. But I want to talk specifically about being offended. Now I want you to see this. Being offended is a choice. It is a choice. Being offended is something that you make a decision to allow yourself to be. Being offended isn't something that just happens. There's a moment in time where you can say, I choose to let that go. I'm going to reveal something to you today. My weakness is other drivers. I get in traffic and someone cuts me off and it just gets me. I'm growing. I'm learning how to deal with that. I'm learning not to be offended and just let them go. But we all have weaknesses and those things that irritate us more than other things. That just happens to be mine. And when we allow those things to steal from us, because they do steal from us, being offended will steal. It'll take from you, and I'm going to show you what it'll take from you. In Proverbs, your first scripture, 18 verse 19, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and contentions are like the bars of a citadel. And you might think, well, what are you saying? You see, being offended, if we allow ourselves to be offended, creates strongholds in our lives. It actually brings us to a place where we're angry and we're upset, and it transfers to the rest of the people that are around you. And it starts affecting your life, and it starts affecting your health, and it starts affecting your peace. It literally creates a stronghold. And so we have to make the choice about being offended. Are we going to allow ourselves to be offended to the point of building a stronghold? An offended man is harder to win than a strong city. Are we going to be people that are offended? Or are we going to be people that forgive? And in that Amish story, you have both sides. Having said that, I wanted to add to the scriptures. They won't be in your notes. And it's in 1 John chapter 2. I'm going to start with verse 9. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness, and walks in the darkness, and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So when we allow ourselves to be offended, it causes us to hate. And hate causes us to walk in darkness. Now, what does it mean to walk in darkness? Throughout the Bible, it uses the term the light, walking in the light, and walking in darkness. And if you look the word up, you'll see that God is talking about walking in truth and walking in deception. So the one who hates his brother has just confined himself to walking in deception. How about that? We've got to bring ourselves back to a place where we're walking in the light. That can only be done through forgiveness. When we decide that we are going to walk in offense, if we're going to be offended, if we're going to be a people that are offended, it causes you to not be able to hear the truth. Can we look at this man who went and did this thing? Can you see how he was blinded? He even was having dreams of doing this. You see, the enemy was able to come in because of the unforgiveness in his own heart. The enemy was able to direct him because of unforgiveness in his heart. We have to come to a place where we forgive one another. We have to come to a place where we're not allowing ourselves to be offended because someone was angry or said something wrong. Even our brothers and sisters in Christ. Because we will do those things. And so we have to come to a place where God is able to touch our hearts and bring us to a place of forgiveness. And I'm going to lay a case. You can see already the power of not forgiving and what it will do. So stage one in getting over a broken heart is forgiveness. And the Amish community understood this. They realized how important it is. And that's why they went as a family and as a group and offered forgiveness. They knew that if they're going to go forward in life, if they're going to get beyond this, they have to forgive. And we may not understand why that's so important right now. But I hope by the time you leave today, you'll understand why it's important. But I want to mention something else. Why is it newsworthy? Why is it newsworthy that this group went and forgave? It's newsworthy because it doesn't happen often. Because we go through life holding on to grudges. We go through life holding on to unforgiveness. And those things deteriorate our quality of life. I heard a preacher say one time that walking in unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. Because what are you doing? You're poisoning your own life with unforgiveness and the other person doesn't even care. And so you've got to come to a place where you're willing to give it up. Where you're willing to offer forgiveness to your brothers and sisters. If you don't, you are committing yourself to walking in deception, to setting up strongholds. You don't want that. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 9 and 10, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. You see, the result of being offended causes one to have feelings of betrayal and hate. There it is again. When we allow ourselves to be offended, and we've all been there, I want you to think back to the last time you were offended. Did you not have feelings of hate? I did. That's what it produces. If I don't repent and turn from that, those feelings stick with me for as long as I hold on to it. And then I will not only hate the person that hurt me, but I'll start hating other people. And pretty soon, nobody even wants to be around me because I'm miserable. Jesus said, I came to give you life and to give it more abundantly. But if we don't listen to the things he says, we're not going to be able to walk in that abundant life. We're going to be walking in places of darkness because God is not in hatred. That's why he says, don't be offended. Don't be offended. Offer forgiveness. Now, the interesting part of that word, you'll see I have a couple of box text in your notes, is that the word offend comes from the Greek word skandalon or skandalizo. And it means to trap or put a stumbling block or cause of ruin. So it literally means to put something in the way of someone else so that they might fall. And you might be thinking, that sounds kind of familiar for a word, and indeed it is. It means, that's where we get our English word scandal. But we think the word scandal has to do with something that somebody did that is a moment of embarrassment for them. And that's the way we use the word today. But I've got the Webster English Dictionary for scandal here, and it says that discredit brought upon religion by unseemly conduct in a religious person. Conduct that causes or encourages a lapse of faith or of religious obedience in another. So being offended means that I'm actually causing a lapse of faith, not only in myself, but in the people that are coming around me, the people that I hate, the people that I affect. Oh God, let us be a forgiving people. And I want to show you that forgiveness is something that can bring light to your life. We will never get over the brokenness. We will never get over the brokenness unless we take this first step of forgiveness. If I'm offended, I set a trap for myself. I'm ensnared. And that word in the Greek, skandalon, when I was looking it up in the different Greek lexicons, one of them said it's actually the trigger that snaps a trap. So once I allow myself to be offended, I set off a trigger that traps me. And I begin walking in darkness because of being offended. I don't have to. It's my choice. It's your choice. And at the root of being offended, you will find unforgiveness. If we are offended, we are unforgiving. If we are forgiving, we're not offended. We've got to allow the forgiveness to go forth. Now, I'm going to take this moment to describe what forgiveness is. Because I've heard many people say, I'd like to forgive them, I just don't feel like forgiving them. I just can't get myself to that point. There's a problem with that. Let me explain. Emotion is a response of belief or choice, not the other way around. If I wait till I feel like forgiving, I will never get there. Forgiveness is a choice. And when I make the choice to forgive, if I make a willful choice to forgive, then the feeling will come after that. It'll never be the other way around. You have to make a choice to forgive. When you make that choice, then you've positioned yourself for the emotion to catch up with the decision you made. So allow yourselves to be a forgiving people. Don't allow yourself to walk a defense. Because if you do, you put yourself in that jail. You put yourself in a place of darkness. But in forgiving someone, you've just expressed the heart of God towards that person. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 through 35. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Sounds like Peter had an experience, doesn't it? If I had to guess, I would say somebody offended Peter. And they were on the verge of crossing that threshold of seven. And Peter was going to the Lord and saying, how many times do I have to forgive them in one day? Seven times? And look what Jesus says. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Now I want to break that down a little bit. Most of us sleep for 8 hours a day. That leaves 16 hours left. In 16 hours, that amounts to somebody sinning against you every 2 minutes. I don't know anybody that can sin that good. Every 2 minutes of the day. That's not even a bathroom break or eating. That's a lot of sin. That's a lot of offense. And so what Jesus is basically saying, he's putting it out of bounds. Because that isn't just for a bunch of people, that's for one person. So what Jesus is doing, he's saying, you have to forgive no matter what or how many. That's the first step. All right. Verse 23. Now notice that after this, Jesus goes right into a parable. And this parable is going to be very important for us to understand because it's going to bring to light the importance of us coming to a place of forgiving. Verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him that owed him 10,000 talents. That's a silver talent. One silver talent is worth $1,940. 10,000 talents is worth $19,400,000. That's quite a debt for a servant. The rate of pay for a Roman soldier equaled about $16 a year. How is that man going to pay back $19 million when the most he could ever make is $16 a year? In other words, he had a debt he could not pay. And so do we. We have a debt we cannot pay. We're all sinners before Christ. Every one of us. And because we are, we cannot go to God. We can't do something right and cancel out something wrong. There's no scales in heaven that says if I do more good than bad, I'll get to heaven. One sin throws me into eternity forever because God is perfect. And he knew that you and I could not do it. And that's why he sent his son Jesus to die on a cross so that we would have a way to live with Christ forever. And that is why he came and forgave you a debt you could not pay. There's no way that you could pay $19 million. verse 25. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. If you don't get the debt of your sin paid, it will last for eternity, and you will wind up separated from God forever. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. That's you and I. When we accepted Jesus as our Savior, our debt was canceled. He forgave us something that we could never pay back. Keep that in mind as we go through this. Verse 28. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. 1 denarii equals 16 cents. 100 denarii equals $16. In other words, that man was in debt to his fellow servant for 1 year's wages. That's something he could have paid back over time. But notice what the man did who had just been forgiven a debt he could never pay back. Verse 29. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then the master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And the master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. Now I want you to see this next part because it's really important, this next verse. I didn't write this. This is in your Bible. And Jesus said, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. What will your heavenly Father do to you if you don't forgive? You will be handed over to the torturers. Now, what does that mean? Well, things start going wrong in life. The job gets messed up, the car breaks down, the roof starts leaking. Pretty soon, life is just having a hard time for you. And you wonder, what's going on? Search your heart and see if there is unforgiveness in you. Because if there is, your heavenly Father will not overlook it. Because you've been forgiven a debt you could not pay. And Jesus said that we should in turn likewise forgive others that have debt against us. We have to. We have to. If we do not, we will walk in darkness. We will walk in darkness. So stage one of is forgiveness. When you have a broken heart, the first step you have to take is forgive the person that broke your heart. Forgive them. Stage two is mourning. Mourning. When you have a broken heart, it releases in you emotion. And some people want to suppress the emotion. And if you suppress the emotion, you're only prolonging it. It's important to mourn. God understands that when we're hurt, we cry. He gave us tears. And those tears can bring healing to your heart. Look what the Word says. Psalms 30, verse 11. Psalm 126, verse 5. Those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. When you sow your tears, when you plant your tears, when you allow the emotion and the mourning to happen, it's going to produce a crop of joy. Oh, but we've got to mourn. I remember a time I had a really close friend, young man, and he died when he was about 25, 26 years old. I was about the same age. And I was in a different state when he died. And when I heard about it, I was just awful. But I suppressed my emotion. And I held it down. I'm not going to mourn. I'm going to be strong. Well, 5 years later, I get to a job. And I began weeping. I had a good day. Nothing went wrong. And suddenly, this man's mind or face came to my mind, and I realized I was weeping for his loss. All I did was prolong mourning for 5 years. If I would have mourned the moment he died, it would have been done and over with. But when I suppress it, it'll raise up again at another time, because that is God's way of us processing. And yet we want to think we're strong and stand up and don't cry. And a lot of us guys, we've been told by our dads, don't cry, that's a sign of weakness. Well, the greatest man that ever walked the earth wept. The greatest man that ever walked the earth wept. So if you want to call me a sissy for crying, go right ahead. Because I'm in the company of Jesus. We've got to process it. We've got to mourn. We've got to allow those tears to come. Psalm 30, verse 11. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. God is involved in the process of your mourning if you will let him. You can mourn the hard way, or you can mourn the easy way. The Bible says we mourn not as the world mourns, but as those who have hope. When people break your hearts, there are times where you think, what's the use? I'm giving up. But then you have your Heavenly Father standing there speaking to you. Don't give up. There's more for life in you than this. Just hang on. You'll get through it. But you got to mourn. You've got to let those tears flow. Matthew, chapter 5, verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. That's what Jesus said. He said, blessed are they that mourn. They will be comforted. God will come and comfort you in your mourning. You will never get over your broken heart unless you mourn. And I'm not talking about the loss necessarily of just life and of someone you love. I'm talking about the loss of a friendship or a relationship. You have to mourn the loss. You have to let it go. You have to let that poison get out of you. First you forgive, and then you mourn. And you let God heal you. Let him comfort you. Because when you allow God to comfort you, something's going to happen. When you allow God to touch your heart, something's going to happen. He's going to make you into something. And so when we go through the hardship of a broken heart, God will work into us and produce into us the ability of something that will be valuable to you and valuable to others. And we're going to get into that. Stage 3. Allow Jesus to heal you and comfort you. Luke chapter 4, verse 17 through 21. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus proclaimed that scripture was about him. What was he sent to do? To heal the brokenhearted. One of the versions says to bind up the brokenhearted. And it's really a beautiful picture of a heart that is broken. And God comes and he brings it and puts it back together and he binds it up. If we will not allow God to heal us, we can prolong the process of mourning. And we can mourn for years. I lost my mother about 14 years ago. And my father was just devastated. Just devastated. And he was going through the process of mourning. And all of us rallied around him and comforted him. And a year went by. And he was still mourning. And he went to church one day. He decided to try a new church. And a lady came up to him. Didn't know him, never seen him, had no idea what his life was about. And she came up to him and said, "Sir, God has spoken to me about you. He said, you have mourned for the past year. God said, let it go now. He's healed you." You see, we can take mourning too far because we don't allow God to touch our lives. We can allow mourning to process too long. And so my dad took that word and he said, "You know what? That's true." And he was encouraged. You know, children come to the place where they don't necessarily want to listen anymore. And you know what? We try to lead them in the ways that are good, in the ways of God. And they don't always listen. Thank God I can get on my knees and pray for them. And God will watch over them and deliver them out of evil because I'm praying. The Bible says, by the integrity of the Father, the children are blessed. Oh, hallelujah. That means if you live your life with integrity, you bring a blessing upon your children. That's enough motivation for me right there. I want my children to be blessed. And so it's important that I live a life of integrity, that they might be blessed. It's important that I pray for them. Jesus came to heal your broken hearts. We can get through it. That's stage three. Allow Jesus to heal your broken heart. Let's go to the next part. Stage four. Becoming a comforter. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So that means when you've got a broken heart and you've forgiven the person and you're going through the process of mourning and you're allowing God to comfort you, when you allow God to comfort you, you are being made into something and somebody that will be able to bring comfort to others in the same situation. You can be a light to them. You can be a comfort to them. But you first have to allow God to comfort you. If you don't allow him to comfort you, how are you going to help others? You see, God is a God that has timing and strategic places and moments where people come together. There are people in your future you don't know yet. Are you going to be ready for them? Because when they come together with you and that moment of time intersects where you and them meet, and they are in a turmoil and a sorrow, and you've been through one, are you going to be able to comfort? God is building in you so that you can be a comfort to others. Oh, that we would allow God to work in us that we might do His work. How can we comfort others unless first we've allowed ourselves to be comforted? We've got to allow the process to work. And yet we have a system. We have a system in place that seeks to suppress the process. People get things in their lives. They try to suppress it. They try to suppress the pain. But if we would embrace it instead, if we would embrace the pain and let it work its way out of us, then you'll be free from it forever. You will be released from it forever. But if you hang on to it and hold on to it and suppress it, then you're prolonging the process. Your tears are like poison coming out of your body. Let them flow. Let them flow. God has a process. If we allow the process to work, it'll work. But I got to tell you something. It starts with offense. And God tells us, don't be offended. Don't be offended. He said, many will be offended because of my name. Many will be offended because of what I've done. You know what that means? That means if you are a child of God, many will be offended by you because of your faith in Christ. Just because you believe in Jesus, many will be offended by your presence. Jesus said, the world hated me, it's going to hate you too. So don't let it surprise you when you get treated poorly. Don't take offense when they're offended because of who you know. I know I've seen people that would carry unforgiveness through their whole lives. And it would be just bitterness would be rising up. And it winds up destroying them. We've got to let it go. We've got to be forgiving people. And I want you to take this moment right now. Let's just everybody bow our heads. And I want you to take a moment right now. I want you to think about cleansing your soul. Think about people that have done you wrong. Think about people that have harmed you and hurt you and broke your heart. And I want you to make a willful, conscious decision. I can't make it for you. Only you can do this. But make a willful, conscious decision to let them go. You see, forgiveness is removing your right to retribution. Let them go. Let them go. Come out of darkness and into the light. Remove the strongholds just by forgiveness. Offer them forgiveness and come into the light. Release them because God has released you. Father, we thank you. We glorify you, Jesus. We worship you. We know, Lord Jesus, that we need you. God, you've forgiven us of so much, of so much. And we are nothing without you. So, Father, as you have forgiven us, we offer forgiveness to those that have sinned against us. And we choose not to be offended anymore. We choose not to take offense when people hurt us, when they speak badly about us, when they use us, when they take advantage of us. We choose not to hold it against them because you don't hold it against us. Father, heal our hearts. Jesus, you came to heal the brokenhearted. Heal us, Lord. Let the tears come. Let them flow. Let it be healing to our bodies. Let it be healing to our souls. And Father, make us into a comfort for others, that we might bring that same comfort that you've brought to us and offer it to others who are suffering. Lord Jesus, I ask these things in your name. Amen. Amen. Let it go. Let God take care of it. We're going to enter into a time of prayer. You see, we believe in prayer. We believe in prayer. I want to ask the prayer team to take your places. We believe in a God that will heal you emotionally. We believe in a God that will heal you physically. We believe in a God that will heal you spiritually. These that are on stage right now, they've shown themselves as people of prayer. That's why they're here. We don't bring just anybody up. These have shown in their life, in their personal life, that they believe in praying. They believe that God is able to heal the brokenhearted. And so we're going to go through a moment of prayer. And when we're done praying, we're going to pray out loud for some things. And when we're done praying, I will invite you to come forward and we'll pray for you too.
Father, Father, your word says in Galatians that it is for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, stand firm and be not enslaved to a yoke of bondage or slavery. And so, Father, there are people that are slaved in sin and separation from God, that know not your love, there are people that have addictions, diseases, depression, who are not free, who do not know the freedom that is in you, Jesus. And so, Father, we intercede as the priests of God that you have called us to be, to intercede for the people that know not you, Jesus. For those people that have been rejected and despised and forsaken, whether they be orphans, widows, drug addicts, alcoholics, people that suffer from depression, sexual abuse, whatever it may be, people that have lost jobs and are called bums today, the homeless. We just ask for salvation to come to them today, that healing come. Anyone here today that has a lost one, has a drug addict in their family. Whatever the case may be, we pray for total deliverance for them and for the outcasts in Rochester and in Minnesota. We pray for salvation to come to them, to healing to come to them, to their lives, that they may know the truth and the truth may set them free. We just thank you, Jesus. We thank you that we have healing in your covenant. We thank you for the salvation. We thank you for your precious blood. We thank you for the souls that you're saving right now at this very moment. We thank you for the deliverance. We glorify you. Amen.
Father, I lift you up today, God, and I pray for our nation, God. I repent, God, we repent on behalf of our nation for eliminating you from our schools and eliminating you and your Ten Commandments from the courthouses, God. Father, I pray that you would raise up government that follows your word, God. People who fear you, God. And that they would bring you back into our country, God. God, raise up your people. God, raise us up to bring you back into this country, God. God, this country was founded on you. May you once again be the center of this country. God, I lift up our president to you. I just pray that you would surround him with protection, God. Give him the wisdom that he needs to make the right decisions. And God, just be with his family, God, and just surround his whole family with protection, divine protection, God. And God, I pray for the nation of Israel, your chosen people, God. And God, I just pray that you would continue to provide for your people to be able to go back home where they belong. And God, surround your people, the nation of Israel, with those who will support them and help them, God. Surround them with people who will help them to get back home, who will give them food or whatever it is that they need. God, just give the nation of Israel, again, your divine protection against any attack that would come against them. And raise up Christians everywhere to stand beside them and to love them. We praise you today, God. We thank you for who you are. You are the I Am, the Jehovah Jireh. And we thank you for that, Jesus.
Jesus, we just stand in agreement for Rochester. Lord God, we just want to pray your will over Rochester, Lord God. Father, we ask that we ask for laborers to be sent into the harvest field, Lord God, in Rochester. And may your will be done here, Lord, Father, in Rochester. Lord God, we just ask that you just pour out your spirit upon all flesh in Rochester, Lord God. Father, we just bless your name, Lord God. We ask that you empower your servants to do your work here in Rochester, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, we ask for salvation, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, to go to just have your way in Rochester, Lord God.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day, for we worship you, we praise you, Lord. Right now, Lord, I lift up the Jesus' mighty name for church unity, Lord. We can't even love each other. How are we going to love our neighbor like ourselves, Lord? You already give to us a commandment. Let it be just like a first church, happen like a Pentecostal church. Let it be happen right now, this moment, Lord. Everywhere in the whole world. Church, come with the unity with the Holy Spirit, Lord. then let it be out there, non-Christian people, let us see we love each other, forgive with each other. We're learning this today's sermon. We have to forgive with each other. We have to love sister, brother like ourselves, Lord. This is a commandment, Lord. Let it be, just open up the heaven door, pour up your Holy Spirit power so we can walk in your word, obey you, Lord. So gonna be out there, non-Christian people gonna let it be, see your love, how gonna be beautiful, just sort of floating, come with one mind, one heart, just walking with you, Lord. Let it feel this earth to you, one union with your love, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord. Especially I repent for church, don't come to union with you, Lord. I repent. Please forgive us. So let it be this day, this moment, gonna be come with one with you, one mind with the Holy Spirit. Just a walking mighty power with this earth, Lord. Thank you so much for love us patiently, Lord. Jesus' name, glorify your Lord. And the Nibbon 504 ministry with the come with the one with the Holy Spirit unity. Thank you so much, Lord. You're going to do your mighty miracle working through this ministry with the pastor, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord. Let it be everybody come with one mind, one heart, walking you, glorify your kingdom, your name. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, we give you glory. We praise you. Amen.
Lord, you asked us never to be, you healed us when Jesus died upon that cross for our sins. He took our pain at the whipping post. He grieved in the garden where he took our emotional pain, Lord. Lord, I come before you now to ask for healing for people, for healing of families that are here. Lord, to heal them spiritually, to heal them emotionally, to heal them physically, Lord. Lord, you are amazing and you are a mighty, mighty man, Lord. And Lord, I ask you to take this pain. You gave us things that Jesus, because we are the body of Christ. We are the bodies. We are the hands. We are the feet. We are walking with Christ because Christ is our head, Lord. We are the working hands of Christ, Lord, and we have things that we can give to other people because of Jesus, Lord. And Lord, I ask for people to be healed today, tonight, and not for them to grieve anymore for the pain that they have been through, Lord. Lord, I give it to them. If they will receive it, Lord, I give it to them. If they want it, take it. And don't. The Lord has healed you, and he will heal you always. You do not have to be sick. It's a curse from the law, and the devil wants us down in the pits as far as we can go, and he doesn't want us up. But the Lord said, you are free. You are free today. If you will take it, take it. He loves you so much. He loves us all. That's why he sent Jesus for us. Because he loves us so much. Lord, I lift up those that are brokenhearted, Lord. I've been one of those. And Lord, I know what it feels like, and I lift them up to you, Lord, that they will be, that you will lead them through the process, and that they will come to you, Lord. They don't need to feel like this anymore, but they can be free with you. It is an amazing thing that you do, Lord. And Lord, may they be free, and may they forgive, may they go through their entire process, Lord, and may they be able to come to others. They have gone through the same thing, Lord. We were the working hands of you, Lord. And if we go through this, we will be there for others so then we can work for Jesus, Lord. We are the comforter for others because Jesus is the greatest comforter. And we are the hands and we are the feet, Lord. If we only follow you, we will be the hands and feet. And your will be done on this earth if we will just follow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Father, your word says in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15, You said, I'll give you shepherds after my own heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Father, we pray for those that you have placed above us. Pray for Pastor Mark and Pastor Catherine. I will pray, Lord, that you will strengthen their bones. Lord, we know that you have given them the grace to do this work. We just pray, God, that they will keep their eyes on you. For you said that you are the author and finisher of our faith. So, Lord, we just pray that you will strengthen them. And you will make their jobs easy, O God. We pray for 5-4 ministries, God. This is a new concept that you have established in Rochester. And we know that we have a mandate to be the shepherd over this city and its environs. Lord, we have taken cognizance of the fact that you are behind us and you will help us to do this work. Well, thank you because you will send the people that need healing. The people that need to know truth. The people that require understanding. Lord, you will direct their parts here. And Lord, you will equip us so that we will not fail them. In Jesus' name. Amen.